hate you. Don't make me cry. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart.
It is an anthem of hope and longing, a song of comfort and concern, written by Paul McCartney to console a five-year-old boy devastated by his parents' divorce.
After the breakup, he was heading over to visit Mum and I. And it was a rainy, 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 grey day. And he just started thinking about the whole situation and how I was going to grow up and how I was going to deal with it.
That five-year-old was Julian Lennon. As a young boy, Julian says he felt closer to Paul than he did to his own dad.
As a kid, I remember spending much more time playing with Paul, you know, playing cowboys and Indians with him. He always seemed very loving and very caring.
Hey Jude was Paul's way of helping Julian face the sadness that would echo throughout his life.
And as, with the sort of hope that maybe I'll pull through and make it okay, you know, one way or the other.
Well, it's about Julian, about pain, about hanging on, about being strong.
For Julian, Hey Jude has been a beacon of light in the darkness, something to hold on to when everything else seemed lost.
And you can start to make it there.
He was the first Beatle baby, born in Liverpool to John and Cynthia Lennon on April 8, 1963. From the very beginning, Julian's dad was rarely at home. In fact, John didn't come to see his newborn son until several days after Julian was born. When he did meet his boy for the first time, John seemed certain about what the future held for baby Julian.
He picked him up, said, who's going to be a little rocker like his daddy? I mean, he preordained what Julian was going to be.
When Julian's dad was home, Cynthia says he brought the chaos of the road with him. She says John frequently returned from Beatles recording sessions with hangers-on in tow.
There would be an entourage of the most nutty people you've ever imagined, because it was a party going on, because there were drugs, because there was all sorts of things happening. And Julian would wake up in the morning and the whole house would be littered with psychedelic bodies all over the floor, in the fridge, in the kitchen, in the garden. Confusing. It was confusing for me, never mind for a little boy.
Having a dad who was seldom home was hard on Julian, but according to Cynthia, having John back in the house after one of his frequent tours wasn't so easy on the youngster either.
He wouldn't get up until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so the house had to be silent. And Julian would be desperate to take the newspaper up to him, and I'd say, no, you can't, because daddy's asleep. So he'd have to wait until 2 o'clock in the afternoon to creep along the landing to take his daddy the newspaper, not knowing whether daddy would be in a good frame of mind or not.
By the time Julian was three, Cynthia and John were growing apart. It was clear that John was becoming deeply involved with experimental artist Yoko Ono. Julian could only look on helplessly as his parents' marriage fell apart. He was just 5 years old when John and Cynthia divorced in 1968. Julian says that he remembers almost nothing about the traumatic breakup of his family or his father's abandonment.
I think it was blocked out because, I mean, Mum has told me there were times, especially after Dad left, that that I was screaming and shouting about where Dad was and what was going on. But I have no recollection whatsoever of that.
In March of 1969, John Lennon married Yoko Ono and moved to the English countryside. Cynthia and Julian carried on with their shattered lives as best they could. But being the child of a Beatle meant that Julian couldn't just quietly blend in with his schoolmates.
The headmaster would get up and would say, and this term we have some new boys in school, and here's one of them. He's Julian Lennon, the son of John Lennon from the Beatles. So the way I was looked at or treated was always different from that point on. It was not just being a normal kid.
As Julian grew older, he saw less and less of his father. In 1970, Cynthia married restaurateur Roberto Bassanini. Finally, Julian says he had a father figure he could depend on. After that, he saw his real dad only on rare occasions.
But it was always very difficult and distant. Because I didn't know who he was, really. You know, he wasn't around. And I'd also, you know, had someone had replaced him in my life, my stepfather, Roberto. You know, so I had Roberto as what I felt was my true father figure, you know. And then this guy who that was really my father, who I hardly saw, was always very awkward whenever we saw each other.
Though Julian and his father weren't close, he still looked on with a heavy heart when John and Yoko left England for New York City in 1971. 8-year-old Julian didn't see his dad for the next 4 years.
Mum actually picked the phone up and said, "Look, you've got a son here. You've got responsibility here. How dare you just get up and leave and not even think about him?" And so we were on the phone a little bit every once in a blue moon, and then eventually got over there to the States to see him a couple of times.
By the late 70s, Julian's relationship with his father was slowly beginning to improve. During his visits to John's New York home in the famous Dakota Building, teenage Julian got to know his half-brother Sean, born in 1975. Yet even though Julian was John's firstborn son, he always felt like second best.
I didn't know how to react with him. He didn't know how to react with me. Still couldn't, you know. And it was interesting to see him and Sean, you know, to be able to walk into the Dakota and see Sean in a room the size of a house with more toys than you can ever imagine. And also the attention that he was getting. I mean, that was tough.